This is In the News for December 13th, 2005. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from Bloomberg.com. 3,000 protesters march in Hong Kong ahead of WTO. More than 3,000 marchers took to the streets of Hong Kong today, disrupting traffic in the Causeway Bay shopping district, to protest trade liberalization before World Trade Organization talks in the city this week. Tom Grundy, a 22-year-old schoolteacher from Birmingham, England, said, quote, "The WTO will undermine the sovereignty and independence of governments by undermining the laws governing workers. It needs to be totally reformed. If there is to be a WTO, it needs to be based on human rights," end quote. Grundy, marching in a yellow chicken suit, was carrying a sign that read, "WTO, more dangerous than bird flu." Today's march is the first of three anti-globalization demonstrations planned for this week. The others are scheduled for the first and final days of the December 13th through 18th ministerial talks in Hong Kong. The conference aims to reach an outline for updating the rules of trade for the WTO's 148 member nations. A draft agenda for this month's meeting shows Brazil, the U.S., the European Union, and India differing widely over the limits of one another's offers to cut farm spending, industrial duties, and limits on foreign investment. Previous summits in Cancun, Mexico in 2003 and Seattle in 1999 ended without agreement. The protesters in today's march gathered in Causeway Bay's Victoria Park before heading off about 3:30 p.m. local time under police supervision through the main shopping strip. Police estimated that about 3,200 people took part. Many were from the city's migrant worker communities, including from the Philippines, Indonesia, and Nepal. They carried banners demanding higher wages and better work conditions. Revitrioso Hosoto, a native of Jakarta, who was leading an Indonesian group that carried a purple effigy of a tentacled monster with WTO Soros emblazoned on its sides, said, quote, "What we are saying is stop the underpayment. The WTO is the enemy," end quote. The Korean Peasants League, a farmers group, was among the marchers. The organization said November 29th about 1,500 of its members would be protesting in Hong Kong during the WTO talks. It said another 500 people from South Korean labor unions, student bodies, and other organizations would also be attending. Again, this news item was from Bloomberg.com. From the Houston Chronicle at HoustonChronicle.com. This story was taken from the News Standard at NewsStandardNews.net. New Orleanians March for Action. This is by Celathea Bryant of the Houston Chronicle. Charisse Harrison Nelson, who still lives in a hotel room in Houston, came back with her mother and siblings. Patricia Thomas came from San Antonio on her 46th birthday just to stand on New Orleans soil again. John Johnson, who says he watched his 98-year-old father-in-law and a niece drown during the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, came here by bus from San Francisco. These and other displaced New Orleanians gathered Saturday to deliver a message to local and federal officials. About 5,000 people marched from Congo Square and Louis Armstrong Park to City Hall, where they stood in 49-degree weather listening to pleas for action. Harrison Nelson, a former New Orleans educator, said, quote, "This is about the people. We demand inclusion. We're not asking for permission. This is about mobilizing the people. This is a grassroots movement," end quote. Protesters complained about rising rent in the city, where only an estimated 65,000 people now reside, about lack of jobs, environmental hazards, and the need for more input from residents on how New Orleans should be rebuilt. The event was organized by the People's Hurricane Relief Fund and Oversight Coalition, which developed a list of demands they intend to give to Mayor C. Ray Nagin's administration, including making housing available for anyone who wants to return, stopping all evictions and price gouging, and discontinuing Mardi Gras until the residents return. Longtime New Orleans community activist Malcolm Suber, who now lives in the Houston area, said, quote, "The people want to return to their home. We want our voices heard. We're saying we won't be ignored by our presence here. We're here standing tall, ready to fight. The government promises everything and gives you nothing. The government is promising to restore us. We're going to make the federal government and FEMA live up to that promise," end quote. Larry Martin, who was evacuated in North Carolina, said he returned 8 days ago to a two-story house that is uninhabitable. He welcomed the protest. Martin said, quote, "It might work. I'm here to listen. The way they've treated us hasn't been fair. You've got a lot of foreigners who get the jobs. The people of New Orleans should have the jobs," end quote. Most of the protesters were black, but not all. Rebecca Mark, a white woman who said she is a Tulane University professor, said, quote, I believe the African Americans are the soul of the city. They deserve their city back, and I don't want white people to take it over, end quote. But a white bystander said he empathized with the marchers but thinks all residents were in the same dire situation. Richard Delahanty, a French Quarter resident, said, quote, this was an equal opportunity disaster. We survived a storm. We have not survived the man-made part. I have a sense that there's no one taking charge, end quote. Again, that was from the Houston Chronicle at HoustonChronicle.com and taken from the New Standard News at NewStandardNews.net. More protests, this time in China, another part of China. This is from the Associated Press, written by Audra Ang. Taken from Truthout at www.truthout.org. Armed with guns and shields, hundreds of riot police sealed off a southern Chinese village after fatally shooting as many as 20 demonstrators and were searching for the protest organizers, according to villagers and a newspaper report last Saturday. If that death toll is confirmed, it would be the deadliest known use of force by security forces against Chinese civilians since the killings around Tiananmen Square in 1989, and marked an escalation in the social protests that have convulsed the Chinese countryside. During the demonstration Tuesday in Dongzhou, a village in southern Guangdong province, thousands of people gathered to protest the amount of money offered by the government as compensation for land to be used to construct a wind power plant. Police fired into the crowd and killed a handful of people, mostly men, villagers reached by telephone said Friday. Villagers' accounts of the death toll ranged from 2 and 10, with many missing. On Saturday, Hong Kong's Apple Daily newspaper raised the death toll to nearly 20, citing villagers. There was no explanation for the discrepancy. Although security forces often use tear gas and truncheons to disperse demonstrators, it is extremely rare for them to fire into a crowd, as the military did in putting down pro-democracy demonstrations around Tiananmen Square when hundreds, if not thousands, were killed. State media have made no mention of the incident, and both provincial and local governments have repeatedly refused to comment. This is typical in China, where the ruling Communist Party controls the media, and lower-level authorities are leery of releasing information without permission from the central government. All the villagers said they were nervous and scared, and most did not want to be identified for fear of retribution. One man said the situation was still, quote-unquote, tumultuous. A 14-year-old girl, said a local official, visited the village on Friday and called the shootings, quote, a misunderstanding, end quote. The girl said over the telephone, quote, he said he hoped it wouldn't become a big issue. This is not a misunderstanding, I am afraid. I haven't been to school in days, end quote. She added, come save us. Another villager said there were at least 10 deaths. That person said, that, quote, the riot police are gathered outside of our village. We've been surrounded. Most of the police are armed. We dare not go out of our home. We are not allowed to buy food outside the village. They asked the nearby villagers not to sell us goods. The government did not give us proper compensation for using our land to build the development zone and plants. Now they come and shoot us. I don't know what to say, end quote. One woman said an additional 20 people were wounded. She said, quote, they gathered because their land was taken away and they were not given compensation. The police thought they wanted to make trouble and started shooting, end quote. She said there were, quote, several hundred police with guns in the roads outside the village on Friday, and continued, I'm afraid of dying. People have already died, end quote. Hong Kong's English-language South China Morning Post newspaper on Saturday quoted villagers who said authorities were trying to conceal the deaths by offering families money to give up bodies of the dead. Again, that's from Audra Ang of the Associated Press, taken from truthout.org. And now we're going to turn to the latest issue of High Country News, dated December 12th, 2005. A couple of items from their section called The Latest Bounce. First short piece is good news. The Environmental Protection Agency is cleaning up fewer Superfund sites. According to EPA spokeswoman Carrie Humphrey, the agency completed 40 projects in fiscal year 2005 compared to the 80 it averaged each year between 1997 and 2000. Humphrey says the reduction reflects the quote-unquote maturing of the agency. Critics attribute the decline to the Bush administration's funding cuts and to the expiration of the polluter pays tax in 1995. and also from the latest Bounce section, High Country News. In Fallon, Nevada, population 8,000, 16 cases of childhood leukemia have been documented since 1997. Three of the victims have died. University of Arizona scientists recently tested the skies over Fallon and nearby communities for heavy metal suspected to cause cancer and found that Fallon residents are breathing significantly more tungsten and cobalt than are people in neighboring towns. The Kennametal plant, located 10 miles north of Fallon, processed tungsten carbide without air pollution controls from 1974 through 1994. Those two short pieces from High Country News were written by Jody Peterson. You can get lots more information from High Country News at www.hcn.org. This has been In the News for December 13th, 2005. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. I'll talk to you next time.